Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Boston Celtics used a dominant defensive second half to move within a game of their first finals appearance since 2010 as they beat the Heat 93-80 on Wednesday to take a 3-2 lead in the East Finals. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown took care of the offense in the second half after a sluggish first half. After combining for just 10 points on 3-for-16 shooting in the first, they scored 37 points on 14-for-23 in the second half. Those 37 combined points were just one shy of the Heat's total as a team after the half. Joel Embiid recognizes that his former teammate needs some help. Embiid simply tweeting, Miami needs another star. And I know a lot of people are going to read into that. Pat Bev isn't one of them, though. Good to see you, sir, and have you with us.
Good to see you.
Welcome back. I'm going to start with you here, though, Stephen A.
What up, Pat?
Hello, fellas. How you guys doing today?
All right, man. All good. All good.
Energy.
I'm ready.
Okay,
I'm ready.
Energy. Okay.
I'm ready. I'm kind of sad. But, you know, I'm here. I'm kind of sad I have to leave. But it's all right. That's a different subject for another day.
In his feelings. Stephen A., do you think this Heat team has reached its ceiling as presently constructed?
Yes. I think that when you look at Boston, Boston has arrived. I think we all know that Chris Middleton with Milwaukee would be incredibly formidable. There's a legitimate argument to be made that they might have compromised Boston being here, even though I'm not sure that would be the case. Those are two teams right there. We don't know what James Harden is going to come back looking like, but Pat Bev has sworn by James Harden. He has sworn to me that James Harden will resurrect himself and he will be back. You know, so obviously that helps Philly and Embiid. And obviously they're keeping Doc Rivers, unless it was a smokescreen to get compensation from the Lakers because they could potentially want Doc Rivers. We'll wait and see what transpires with all of that. In the end, I think that when you look at the Eastern Conference, the Miami Heat, as formidable as they are, exceptionally well coached, they defend or whatever. The bottom line is that Joel Embiid is absolutely right. He's talking about his brother there, Jimmy Butler. He's looking at the Miami Heat. He's played against them. He knows this is not enough. They need more moving forward if they're going to truly, truly, truly contend. Otherwise, as this roster, as presently constructed, I think their ceiling is a conference finals berth. It certainly is not a championship.
Pat, where are you on this?
I totally disagree with Stephen A. Smith. Love him to death, though. Was a big bro. Disagree with him. I think Miami has done a good job over the years of getting talent and getting the best out of it consistently year after year. Undrafted guys, you talk about starting in the Eastern Conference Finals. Injuries, you talk about still being able to compete. I don't think it's about player. I think it's all about the identity of the team, and Miami Heat's identity is going to continue to be Miami Heat's identity. Maybe they change some pieces maybe there, but I don't think it's the ceiling. I think that Miami Heat's going to always be up there in the running just due to the job Coach Spo has.
Go ahead, KP.
Well, see, that's the level of actually having just a playoff mindset and actually having a championship caliber mindset. And right now, Patrick Beverly, you have a playoff mindset. The Miami Heat has a championship caliber mindset. And no, yes, they have reached their ceiling. Listen, you don't trade for Kyle Lowry. You don't acquire P.J. Tucker in free agency and say, get those type of vets and just say, oh, we cool with just reaching the Eastern Conference Finals. That's not how it go. They put all their eggs in a basket to actually reach the finals. Now, look, since I addressed you to that point, I have to revisit 2 weeks, okay, 2 weeks ago. Because Stephen A. and Molly both know. You asked me to bring the energy, so I'm going to bring it to you today. Stephen A. and Molly both know. If I'm not watching basketball, I'm watching every show that goes on ESPN, especially NBA Today and First Take. And when I'm not on, I'm watching to see what people have to say. I'm watching the debates. I'm watching the takes, whether they good, bad, or ugly. And you brought up my name during the conversation that I wasn't even on the show with. So once I got you on here, I had to revisit.
Me or Pat?
No, not you. Patrick Beverley.
What was said?
So y'all was talking about the James Harden situation, and they was talking about the extension or giving the man money in Philly or the contract extension or whatever.
I remember.
And Pat Bev said, y'all need to give him his flowers. You, Stephen A., Matt Barnes, and Perk. First of all, I never came on here and not have gave James Harden his flowers. I always praise James Harden to the fact that I'm sitting up here right now looking crazy because I said that they possibly could be the next version of Kobe and Shaq. But James Harden got me sitting up here looking like a fool. And so here's my thing to you, Pat Bev. I watched you come on here on Monday, and I watch you sit up here and I watch you dismantle CP3. I watch you give CP3 the business
for
his horrible play.
Did I tell a lie?
No, you didn't tell a lie.
Okay, so next subject.
But you didn't tell the truth about James Harden, your homie. So when you come on here and when you come on TV and now you're taking yourself out of the basketball space and you coming on here and you being an NBA analyst, homies don't matter no more. You got to come on here and speak the truth. And you was telling a lie and the truth was nowhere near you for the simple fact that if you're going to sit up here and tell us that James Harden deserved a Supermax after the performance and after what he did in Philadelphia this past season, you were telling a lie. And all you were showing us was that was your homeboy that you was protecting. You asked Stephen A. Smith why he didn't give the same energy to CP3 that we give to Ben Simmons. Why the hell you didn't give the same energy to James Harden that you gave to CP3 2 days before?
Because he wasn't getting cooked defensively. We talking about something offensively from another standpoint. We wasn't talking about anything offensive. I mean, you ask me a question, I give you an answer. Just because you don't like the answer I'm giving you, KP, and because you don't like the answer I'm giving you, that's another thing. But I'm just stating facts. We're entitled to our own opinion. You have your opinion.
That's
I have
not
mine. Says who? You?
No, says the numbers. Says the numbers in the eye test of watching James
10
Harden.
And 8?
No, he was not averaging
22, 10, and 8.
I'm not talking about season. I'm talking about when it matters the most, because if we're talking about the season, then we're talking about CP3 being the ultimate floor general and actually leading the best team in the NBA to having the best record if you want to talk about season. We're talking about the postseason when it matters the most.
Those stats I got from was the season. That's the numbers I got from, and that's what I was talking about. Perk, me and you both know. You've better than me. You've played with him also. You know what's going on, man. Even at the age, and even what you done seen past this past season, man. Like you said, like you've been a big James Harden fan. I don't know why that changed now or what's going on. All I said is ex-NBA players getting on TV talking about how other current NBA players shouldn't get a certain type of money. It's not fair, because when it was time for you to get a contract, you wouldn't want that. On your plate. That's all I'm saying, baby.
Hold on. Let me interject.
No, let him talk. He's grown, man. Let him talk. What you got, KP? Talk to him.
Time out. First of all, I never said that James Harden didn't deserve money. The question was that did he deserve the Supermax? And this is not James Harden's first deal. James Harden done already made 400 plus. We're talking about, based on his performance, does he deserve the Supermax? And Stephen A. and Molly can contest to this. I have been on here numerous times saying that James Harden do deserve a contract extension. But if you ask me, based on his performance, do he deserve a Supermax? Hell no.
Well, let me interject. Pat Bev, you and I know, you and I disagree with this about James Harden. But this is what I want to say to you, Bev. It ain't personal, bro.
What?
In other words, if you look at James Harden, like, I'll give you an example. You and I talked off the air a couple of weeks ago when I said to you, you were talking to me about how I judge players, and I said to you, based on your job description, and you said, absolutely. So if Patrick Beverley is scoring 10 points a game, it don't bother me. Why? Because I know that you're on a squad because of your defensive tenacity combined with what you do, being a pest and influencing a culture and making these and helping to make these brothers Rough Riders, toughen them up, obviously, for postseason competition. That's what I said with you. Another player, your responsibility is to score. James Harden has never been known for his defense. James Harden is judged by his prolific tendencies as an offensive firepower. What we saw this year was a drop-off. Now, I believe it was primarily because he's never fully recovered from the hamstring injury he suffered the previous year in Brooklyn.
And we spoke about that,
but
too.
But what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with somebody looking at him and saying, excuse me, when you talk about a supermax, he doesn't deserve that because he's not what he used to be, particularly in a cap situation where the more money you pay one player, the less you're going to be able to pay another. It's not like somebody's messing with somebody's money. What you're saying is this. If Patrick Beverley, as far as I'm concerned, because of the defensive tenacity that you bring to a squad, I think you're underpaid in today's NBA market. But in order for you to get the money that you deserve, they're going to snatch it from somebody else too. So we got to take all of those things into consideration. But when you're evaluating what a player brings to the table, it is what it is. James Harden's not that guy. Now, when you bring up CP3, we got to look at this. He went against you and the Clippers the year before. Dropped 41 on y'all in a closeout game 7. CP3's a 12-time All-Star. He's one of the elite point guards in NBA history. Now, your point was,
now
ain't nobody
night
losing no sleep.
Became Hold Monday night quarterback because you didn't have him stats the first time you was on here. So don't go to sleep. Well, and try to get some new numbers and bring them up points. Yeah, that's all y'all doing.
This.
The question was about
this.
The Heat. I don't understand why we even on this topic again.
The question
was about the Miami
Heat.
But
you and I was, hold on. I wasn't bringing it up. You and KP went back and forth. And so what I'm saying to you, forget all of that for a second. I'm only making the point that if you're talking about, if he's a former player, just because he's a former player, you're a former player, all right? Or you're not a former player. You're still playing. My point is, you can't talk about a player. You can't look at a player and go like this. I don't think he this. I think this guy is this. I don't think that player is that.
Can I ask a question?
You can do that.
Real quick. First of all,
you have the license to do that.
Kendrick is a former player, but he's also an analyst now, so he's got to be fair. And Kendrick, let me ask you this really quickly, because I remember you saying that when Joel Embiid and Harden, you thought so highly of it, you thought potentially they could be the most dynamic duo ever. Pat, I don't know if you ever heard him say that.
I hear Kendrick say a lot of stuff.
Okay, but just stay with me on this one. So that's where his hopes were. But then Kendrick, let me ask you this. So prior to the playoff performance, you would have said he deserved the Supermax. It was just because how these playoffs turned out that you changed your opinion?
Look, Molly, I wouldn't have never – the reason I wouldn't have never dove into the Supermax conversation was because of the emergence of Tyrese Maxey. Like, my thing is, at this point of James Harden's career, I'm thinking that the only thing that's on his mind is about winning championships. Like, if you want to win a championship, sometimes you have to make sacrifices. We watched Kevin Durant make a sacrifice when he went to the Golden State Warriors. We watch him take one-year deals and things to that nature, two-year deals to make sacrifices to win a championship. And at this point of James Harden's career, it's about whether or not he's willing to make the sacrifices to let other people get paid so he could be able to keep the team intact. But here's the reason that I even brought up the whole conversation. It was because of this, Molly. My name was brought up, and I wasn't even here to defend myself. So at least if somebody want to slap box, don't slap box when I'm not there, when I'm not able to throw punches back. I want to come on TV and be able to slap box with you. And so
nah,
when I
you know
when
me.
Now
and
that
KP,
I got that.
You know me personally, man. You know me. Whatever I say on the TV, I'm going to say it to their face. Whatever I say about a player, I'm going to say it to their face. I'm not talking about a certain type of player they can't guard, I'm going to say that right to their face. I mean, that don't change for me.
That's cool. All I'm saying is this, bro. First of all, the game is to be sold, not told. That's the first thing, all right? First thing you need
to learn regarding what?
I'll teach you later. But listen, here's the thing I'm telling you. All I'm saying is this. The James Harden situation, the CP3 conversation, it just wasn't the same energy, dog. It wasn't the same energy.
And
if you ask me about a player getting... Okay, but if you ask me about a player getting their money, I would never tell a player not to get their paper or come on here and tell a player that he can't get their paper.
So answer her question then. Answer her question. Her question was, before the playoffs, did you think James Harden? We're not talking about numbers. We're not talking about Tyrese Maxey. Answer her question because you've yet to answer the question. Before the playoffs started, you said they were the best 1-2 punch. Do you think he should have got the Supermax?
Yeah.
Okay, so we ain't talking about nothing.
No, because of the situation. So what are we talking about?
Okay,
no.
Well, I mean, your answers seem to change. Right. Mine don't. So I got to judge a man off that.
All right.
Let's go.
Right. Let's get in a break here because I want to get back to that Colin Kaepernick conversation that we had earlier. Damian Woody will come back and join us.
So we're not going to answer the Heat conversation? I mean, we just had a Heat question. And I was the only
person.
He really don't want to bring that up because he said that Jason Tatum wasn't a two-way player.
I was absolutely wrong about that.
Okay, no, you actually, no, you, yeah, I know you were. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Gentlemen, I love the passion. Let me just get a commercial break, though.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Baseball we go. Stephen A., I have an update for you. Yankees third baseman Josh Donaldson has released a statement today in light of his one-game suspension and fine by Major League Baseball for his Jackie remarks to the White Sox, Tim Anderson. Donaldson, who is appealing the suspension, said in the statement, "First and foremost, I have the utmost respect for what Tim Anderson brings to the game of baseball," Donaldson said. Per MLB.com's Mark Feinsand, "I stated over the weekend that I apologized for offending Tim and that it was a misunderstanding based on multiple exchanges between us over the years. My view on that exchange hasn't changed, and I absolutely meant no disrespect. In the past, it had never been an issue, and now that it is, we have a mutual understanding. I would also like to apologize to Mrs. Rachel Robinson and the Jackie Robinson family for any distress this incident may have caused. Jackie was a true American hero, and I hold his name in the highest regard." Stephen A., your reaction to Donaldson's statement?
Smart and predictable. Smart because clearly people have gotten in his ear and let him know how offensive this came across and how it may have been misinterpreted. I totally believe him when he says he meant no disrespect to Jackie Robinson, and I appreciate his apology to Mrs. Rachel Robinson, Jackie Robinson's widow, the wonderful Rachel Robinson. We get that, and I believe him on that. What I don't believe is that he meant no disrespect to Tim Anderson. Clearly, if Tim Anderson told you before that it bothered him, you meant to egg at him, as Doggy and them have educated me about. He has a history of really trying to get under people's skin. So he clearly meant to do that when it came to Tim Anderson. Again, I'll give him credit for this. His story is consistent. Regardless of what Tim Anderson says, he did not back up from the assertion that my communication with Tim Anderson had been this way for several years. We had had these exchanges before. There was no problem. Even with the statement he just issued out today, he's maintaining what he said to the press in front of their face in the immediate aftermath of that brouhaha at Yankee Stadium the other day. And so in regard to that, we have to acknowledge that there is consistency coming out of his mouth as it pertains to his communication with Tim Anderson. He said that, hey, it's clearly a misunderstanding. And now that I know, all right, fine. It's not something he's going to do again. Who knows if they'll ever speak to one another again. Clearly, neither of them are going to have a problem with it. But it was very smart of him to issue this statement. It has the Yankees written all over it because their PR staff knows what the hell they're doing. And it has their fingerprints written all over it. We understand what he's doing here. And I think it was incredibly, incredibly wise for him to remind the world. I meant no disrespect to Jackie Robinson or Jackie Robinson's family or legacy. His issue is with Tim Anderson. He'll just find a different way to get under his skin if he can. I think one can assume that.
Yeah, but he'll never be calling him Jackie again. And I think the silver Correct. Lining in all of this is that it's a very teachable moment in a multitude of ways. We'll leave it there. Thank you, Stephen A., for that perspective.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Two-time Olympic gold medalist, WNBA champion, Phoenix Mercury center, and American citizen, Brittany Griner became a household name for many in March of this year when the WNBA All-Star was detained in Russia. Nearly 100 days later, Angela Rye sat down with Griner's wife, Sherelle Griner, in an exclusive interview where she discusses Brittany's wrongful detention and her plans to get her home.
Hey, beautiful. I miss you. I just miss coming home and just seeing you in the house. Like, hearing you in the house. Like, I never know how much, like, that stuff matters or means to me. Like, until, you know, I don't have it.
This is Sherelle Griner interview. Marker.
Sherelle. Thank you so much for being with me today. I know you've got to relive this day so much. But for folks who don't really know what happened, can you take us back to February 17th?
I woke up, I want to say around like 5 a.m. I was in our home in Phoenix thinking I'm just going to wake up, get a message from BG. I landed in Russia, babe, you know. But that was not the case. I had messages on my phone from BG, about 50 messages. Like, it was just, babe, wake up. Hello, wake up. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, what are they saying? She's like, they're not saying anything. They just have me in this room. I'm like, they just can't grab you and not tell you something. And, you know, she's there for hours and they don't say anything.
What was the last thing she said to you before she left for Russia?
It's the irony of all of it. You know, she didn't want to go back. She just said she was so exhausted from always having to go overseas. And we talked about it. And I was like, well, you know what, babe? Like, let's just make this your last year of season. Mm-hmm. I was like, you don't have to go back anymore. Mm-hmm. I was like, we'll figure something else out, you know, when it comes to pay, because obviously there is a tremendous difference in the amount of money that she makes when she's playing WNBA versus when she goes overseas. And so that's why it's been something that, like, she had to do. If the WNBA paid BG what she makes overseas and treated her the way she's treated overseas, she wouldn't go.
How is she doing? How do you know?
Exactly. I don't truly know. Yes. I'm in a position of complete vulnerability right now. Mm-hmm. I have to trust people that I didn't even know until February the 17th. So I'm trusting, you know, her lawyers to, you know, tell me when they go see her. How is her spirit? How is her energy? But the truth of the matter is, because I haven't heard her voice myself, I don't 100% know. But I am being told that, you know, she's doing okay.
A week after Brittany was detained, Russia invades Ukraine.
That almost killed me, actually. I was terrified what that meant. I thought that was it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm really never going to see her again.
Is she being used as a political pawn?
Yes. Yes.
If it was LeBron or KD or Steph Curry, do you think that you would be sitting here today?
you know, respectfully and no, you know, no shade to them when I say this, but the answer to that question would be no.
Have you spoken to the president?
I have not.
Not met with him?
No.
If you had the opportunity, Sherelle, today to say something to President Biden, what would you say?
If he is a person that can get my person back, I would love to meet him. You know, I have requested a meeting with him. And so I hope he accepts in the near future, you know, to meet with me because I want my person back. You know, I feel every second that BG's not here. You know, most people are counted by the days, but it's not days for me. Like, okay. Okay, I need a second.
Okay. It's okay. Take your time.
Angela Rye joining us now. And Angela, I'm happy this was the second time that I saw this because the first time on SportsCenter last night, I was definitely getting misty-eyed. And just kudos to you for doing this interview in the first place. We all know what it's like to miss someone we love, but it's a whole nother level when you fear for their life, their safety, if you'll ever see them again. And then the whole issue of, like you said, being a political pawn and wrongfully detained. Here's where I want to start with, because you asked so many good questions. But specifically, what more can the U.S. government do to get her back?
Well, a couple of things, Molly, and thank you so much for your feedback on the interview. The first thing is there just needs to be a conversation. Secretary Blinken talked to Sherelle. He let her know that he's standing with her and he's going to do everything he can, that this is a top priority for the State Department. But the rubber has to meet the road, and that means that there needs to be some real progress in getting Brittany back home. One thing that Trevor Reed's mother said to Sherelle and has said publicly is that Trevor Reed would not have come back home, would not have been released if their family had not met with President Biden. As a result, that has become a top priority for Sherelle.
Angela, great job. Obviously, great job. Really proud of you on this. But I got to ask you, how wise do you believe it is to talk about this? I know that we all want to bring attention to it, but we're talking about Putin and Russia. Has anybody thought about, including Sherelle, talking about this and what kind of potential impact that could have? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm just curious, is anybody worried about that at all?
Yeah, there was worry about that for a long time. As you know, it has now been 98 days since Brittany was detained. What we also have to understand is on May 13th, Brittany Griner had a court date. It was her pretrial court date. And at that time, her pretrial detention was extended. Shortly before that, April 28th, Trevor Reed was released. This is the former Marine who was in Russia for more than 3 years. Once Trevor Reed was released, the United States government, via the State Department, changed Brittany Griner's classification from detained to wrongfully detained. At that point, Hostage Affairs gets involved, right? Former UN Ambassador Bill Richardson is enrolled in the process to try to get her back home. And that is when the public narrative shifted and it became okay to not only talk about that, but to advocate for Brittany's safe return. So right now, Stephen A., as far as we know, it is more than safe to talk about it. In fact, it's encouraged because it's more likely that we can get her back safely than not if we really start to sound the alarm.
Is a meeting going to take place with her and President Biden, to your knowledge? I'm assuming she's reached out. Is that going to happen?
She has reached out. And Stephen A., the word on the street is, if you make the call, President Biden might talk to her. So I'm going to encourage you.
Then I'll make the call. I'll make the call today. I'll make the call today, if that's the case.
Great. This is great. But here's the thing. If you, Stephen A., challenge some of your friends as well to call, there's a number. The White House, you can call the White House and urge them to meet with Sherelle Griner about Brittany Griner's release. That number is 202-456-1111, 202-456-1111, and ask President Biden to sit with Sherelle to hear her story and to help to get Brittany Griner back home.
Angela, I have no clout, but I want to go back to the interview because there are some interesting things that were brought up here. So when Sherelle brought up the point and that Brittany wouldn't have been playing overseas if she was properly compensated and taken care of by the WNBA. So that's a whole separate issue. But then you asked an excellent question. Where would this process be if this was someone like a LeBron James or someone like a Steph Curry? I want to ask you that question, your opinion on where this would be if it was an NBA superstar rather than WNBA.
You know, I really wrestle with this question a lot because what I don't want to do is make any of those guys feel like I'm trying to target them, right? There have been a number of folks talking about I'm trying to create a gender divide. That's not it. What I'm really trying to do is demonstrate that there is a gender divide, that because of how Brittany presents, this 6'9" Black woman wearing a Black Lives Matter sweatshirt through customs in Russia, who's had no problem traveling there for more than 7 years, now all of a sudden on the other side of this is detained. And the to Stephen A's point, a lot of people were obedient, right, to the idea of not talking about Brittany. Do you think we really could have quieted the press, the NBA, if it was one of these players? I don't think so. And so I really wanted to wrestle with that within myself. Like, how would I be paying attention to this if this were different? If this were my sister, if this were my friend, how would I want people to be talking about this? And I think that's how we have to really deal with this. Sure, we would like to believe that if you're a superstar and if you're regular Joe Blow from around the corner, that you'll be treated the same and we would all want your return and your release. But I don't believe that's the case. And I think this is a really great point for us to double down, not just on salary disparity, but on treatment of these stars. When you look at Brittany Griner's stats, this is a 7-time NBA All-Star, WNBA, WNBA champion, Olympic gold medalist twice. Like, come on. Like, yes, I think
she,
a lot
she was a superstar since college. Yeah. She was a really Taylor. A household name when she was in college. I remember what. Yeah, of course.
Ladies, Stephen A? Let me say this. I'm going to say something and then I'll ask the question along those lines, Angela, because I'm not sure I entirely agree with you. I definitely agree with you about obviously they need to be paid more. There is no question about that. There is no debate about that. WNBA players are fantastic. They give the fans what they want to see, what they come to expect to see. They deliver the goods and they're consistently committed. So I got a lot of love. Don't get me started with the Diana Taurasi's, the Sue Birds of the world and others. I love all of them, ladies. I'm actually going to a couple of games this summer. Okay, and let me not forget Candace Parker, but I gotta say this. When we say that if an NBA player was in that position, I will remind the world we're talking about Vladimir Putin. And we know we've seen, unfortunately, what this man is capable of. And it one could easily reverse that and make the argument that if it was somebody popular, he would dig down even more and do even worse. We could actually say that. So with that in mind, as we sit here today, what is the status of Brittany Griner? And how soon are we hoping, or are we expecting, rather, this matter to amp up to a degree where some kind of decision is made? Because she ain't the only American that they've got over there, all right, that they're holding over there. And at the end of the day, they haven't been listening to other folks who wanted, you know, their loved ones out of there. I'm just worried right now about the Griner situation. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, and I hear your fear, Stephen A. I think here's the question that I would pose back to you. If this were LeBron James, Giannis, anybody even in the finals right now, Steph Curry is one of the people who I mentioned in the question. When you think about how much you've talked about Brittany Griner on air, do you think it's sufficient?
No.
Okay.
We should talk about Griner more. Absolutely.
Right. And so all I'm saying is I'm not confused about the monster that Vladimir Putin is. What I'm saying is when it comes time to look at the petition on wearebg.org and we look at the fact that it's still under 250,000 signatures 98 days after her detention, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Right. When we look at whether or not she's been on the front page of major newspapers, when we look at our statistics in media and how much we've talked about this, shame on us.
Well,
I'm clear about his role. I'm also clear about ours. And we could do a hell of a lot more. And we sure better. If Stephen A, think about your two daughters, think about your family members, think about what you will want people to do if this was your loved one. All star aside, And then when you tack on that all-star and all that she's done for this country, even when she's been critical of it, she has the right because we have free speech here. I'm asking people to honor the principles of what it means to be an American citizen. Do all right. you can and leave nothing out to get this woman home.
Angela, let me close by saying this. Your point about the signatures, nothing to dispute there, without question. The point about the attention is brought to bear, I think Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, spoke for a lot of people when he was asked about it at his State of the NBA press conference. And when he was asked about it, he talked about how they were being advised of what to do or what not to do in terms of the momentum they brought to the subject because of the sensitivity involved with Vladimir Putin. We know what's going on with Russia and Ukraine and all of that other stuff, and there's so much stuff going on. They were advised. So when you see people not talking about it much more, that
they
has
were
been
advised
a factor.
Then.
And I think it's important that we know that.
Then. They were advised then, and it has changed. And I'm telling you, if you just remove... What if we all remove whatever bias we have around this, if it were another superstar in the NBA, you could advise until you were blue in the face and nobody would listen. That's what I'm saying. We have used this as a fallback and we're guilty of it. And we now have to come to account. We've got work to do as a collective, this entire country. Joe Biden's got a meeting to have. We've got some signatures to add to a petition and we've got to sound the alarm in the media. And I appreciate y'all for doing that today.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Absolutely.
Angela, you're bringing so many important issues to the forefront, and we're lucky to have you at the network. Thank you so much. And please keep us updated on this, because as you said, we need to be discussing it more and doing more.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Colin Kaepernick, who last played professional football in 2016, the year he started kneeling during the national anthem to protest racial injustice, worked out Wednesday for the Las Vegas Raiders, a league source telling ESPN. It marked Kaepernick's first workout with an NFL team since being exiled. It was the first time the former star quarterback visited with the team since he flew to Seattle to meet with the Seahawks in May. 2017, before they passed on the opportunity to sign him. Kaepernick played at the University of Nevada, the only school to offer him a scholarship. Damian Woody back here with us. We don't have a lot of time, Damian, so I just want you to pick back up where we left off and what you wanted to respond to Stephen A. from earlier.
Yeah, listen, I feel like Stephen A. was being disingenuous as it relates to the former athletes as to why we felt like Colin Kaepernick deserve to be in the National Football League. No one is saying that Colin Kaepernick can literally walk off the street and just be one of the 64 quarterbacks in the National Football League. Okay? That would be disrespectful to the other guys that are in the league and disrespectful to the National Football League in general. But what we are saying, what I am saying, I won't speak for myself. What I am saying, if all things are equal, like in this particular situation with the workout with the Las Vegas Raiders, if he's given the opportunity to sign with the Raiders during off-season program, OTAs, minicamp, training camp, things that are afforded to other quarterbacks, if all things are being equal, then I feel like, in my opinion, there are not 64 quarterbacks that are better than Colin Kaepernick walking the face of the earth. Stephen A., last year in the 2021 season, I sat and watched a game against the New York Football Giants, against the then Washington Football Team, where literally Joe Judge told his quarterback, Jake Fromm, backup quarterback at the time, to take two consecutive kneel downs in the field of play, all because he did not even trust his quarterback to go out there and execute a traditional offensive play. And people going to sit here and tell me that if Colin Kaepernick is afforded an opportunity to train, to learn a playbook, to go through all the things that all these other quarterbacks go through, that he wouldn't be able to at least be in that situation or at least operate a traditional offense, considering where the NFL is right now as far as catering to guys like Colin Kaepernick and his skill set? That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about.
First of all, I got love for you, bro. So I'm going to be as cool as I possibly can when I say this. I don't appreciate being called disingenuous when it comes to NFL players. I'll let you speak. Let me speak. I don't appreciate being called disingenuous because I've done no such thing. I'm quoting y'all. Now, maybe not you, but there are numerous players and former players who have been on the airwaves stating that Colin Kaepernick should be in the NFL. What I did was qualified by saying, no, he should be given the opportunity to show he can still play in the NFL. And the players, maybe not you, but the players who have bloviated about how he could be in the league right now are disrespecting the very game they swear is virtually impossible for 99% of the population to participate in. He has been gone since 2016. We're not debating the kneeling. We're not debating how he's been blackballed. We're not debating how he's been mistreated. I went on Good Morning America and said to the world he was being blackballed and that you had a bunch of owners. You know, some of them obviously were racist tendencies, for crying out loud, with what they were doing with him and how they sat back and allowed the former president to hijack the narrative. I said all of this, but that is a different subject than when NFL players, present and former, speak publicly and declare, without having seen him play in 4, 5, 6 years now, that he can be on an NFL roster. He deserves the tryout. He deserves to show what he's made of. He deserves to go to prove what he brings to the table. But somebody reminding NFL players, former and present, of what they said as to his abilities now, having not seen him play in all of these years. And the only level of evidence we have is a workout he had at a high school football field throwing to receivers with no cornerbacks or safeties in sight is not an accurate depiction of what he can do on a football field with guys that have played on your level. You are a champion. You have played with champions. You know what they bring to the table. You are one of the people who looked me in my face and talked about, this ain't for everybody. And don't think that you could just walk off the streets after being gone for such and such a time and do X, Y, and Z on a football field. You said that. So for me to bring it up and to remind NFL players, present and former, of what you all said pertains and entails being an NFL player, and calling you to explain that as it pertains to a player who hasn't played since 2016 is not disingenuous. You might disagree, but it's not a misrepresentation of players. It's not disingenuous. It's not inaccurate. We got tapes of people who played in the NFL, present and former, saying he could play now. You just ended your diatribe by saying, based on what you've seen, I don't think that there's no way that Colin Kaepernick can't be
on
top 64.
Please work with me. We're up against
it. And I'm saying he ain't played since 2016.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. What a day, Stephen A. What a day. You know what I think I'm going to do? You get on that flight back from Miami, back to New York. You hold it down tomorrow, and I'm going to get on a flight to Miami. I'm going to shut my phones off, and I'm going to hide out for a couple days, you know, just for my spirit. It'll be good for my spirit.
There's only one problem with that. I ain't trying to do the show without you. We in this together.
I'm coming to work. So tired.
Suck it up.
We'll see you tomorrow, guys. It'll be fun. We got a great cast. We'll all be in studio. Goodbye.
All right.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.